Good morning, Covenant. Now, I think there is no better day to talk about change than this morning. You've all experienced some change over the last 12 hours. At least, I hope you changed your watches and your clocks. Did anyone come an hour too early this morning? We've had that over the last years a couple of times, that people just missed that hour. Change, that's the topic today. We do not like change too much, right? Just recently, a friend asked me to help him with putting a new dishwasher into his kitchen. And I thought, oh, I've done that a couple of times. I know how to do it. Easy thing. So I went over to his place. I took the old dishwasher out. Everything was as I expected. And then I looked at the new dishwasher and I said, shoot, they've changed everything. Totally different electric wiring, different water lines coming in. And I said, I have to take the manual and I have to read how to do it. And I asked myself, why did they change it? The old system was good enough, but they changed it. We do not like change so much, even if it might be necessary. We're used to routines because routines make our life easy. And I can tell you, the road we live on, when I leave home with a car, after a couple of hundred meters, I come to a T intersection and I have to decide, do I go right towards Midland or do I turn left towards Penetang? Now, over 90% of the days I have to make a right turn because that's where I have to go. And believe it or not, there have been so many days I forgot that I had to go to Penetang and make a left turn. I made a right turn instead. And just when I said, where am I going? X. So I either had to make a U-turn or I had to drive a little detour and come into Penetang from the other side. We're so used to do things always the same way we've done them before. Have you heard that in your business or at your workplace? You wanted to change something and you were told, we're doing this for 25 years already and it worked and we won't change it. It's a normal thing for us humans that we don't like changes. But in order to follow Jesus, we have to make changes in our life. Because the way we are born, we do not fit to the kingdom of God. Nobody of us is born a Christian. Nobody of us was raised or trained to be a Christian. And we cannot educate or raise our children to be Christians. We have to make the decision to be Christians. Our kids have to make this decision. And we have to make changes, and we need changes in our lives. The last time I was speaking here, I spoke to you about Matthew chapter 4:17, where Jesus is saying, the kingdom of God has come close, so change your way of thinking, change your minds, change your life. That's a whole message that Jesus was preaching at his time. Now, I don't want to go into my sermon of the last time. I don't want to repeat this. But how do we manage to get a change into our lives? See, we all know, we all see there is a need. We have to change things. But how are we doing it? We can try it ourselves. And there are many, many, many people calling themselves believers who just say, oh, we have to set up certain rules and to follow these rules. You want to hear a couple of these do's and don'ts? At minimum, you have to take 30 minutes to read your Bible every day. Do you comply with that? But there are some people who think that's a rule you have to follow. I know by myself, there are days where I think, I don't really want to open the Bible today. Maybe I'm damaging my image here, but that's the way it is. And I've talked to people and who had the same feeling, and I had to tell them, you know what, don't feel that way. You cannot do anything to make God love you more or anything to make him love you less. He loves you nevertheless, and when he wants to use his word to talk to you, he uses it. But of course, it's good to read the Bible because we get encouragement. We get words of help from there. Another rule that you may have heard, don't smoke. A good Christian cannot be a smoker, right? There is something true in it, because as believers in the Creator God, we do not want to damage our health, right? But I know how hard it is. I know how difficult it is to change a habit like that. You know what? I'm so glad I never started smoking, so I don't have to quit. I know how hard it is to quit, and I would be the last one to condemn someone who is a smoker and telling him, you have to change, otherwise you have no place here at church. Or another rule that seems to be very important for a number of churches: when coming to the church, wear a suit and a tie. At least I did one thing right today. I've seen pictures from mission fields, from certain churches, from Africa, where all those people, and I touched my head and I said, how can that be true? Where all those men came in a black suit with a white shirt and a tie, and they must have been sweating like crazy. And I thought, is that the message we want to bring to other people? You know, for me, yes, I like to dress up on Sundays a bit. It's important for me. I feel like it. But if you don't feel like it, come as you are. That's a message Jesus told us. And that's fine. Or another rule you may have heard: don't go to the movie theater on Sundays. There is lots of denominations of churches who make rules about the Sunday, what you can do and what you're not supposed. And there are lots of people who think by following all these kinds of rules, that's a change that they need in their lives. Where does that lead us to? It either makes those who follow these rules or who try to follow these rules self-sufficient or hypocrites. If I only can follow all those rules, what do I need God's grace for? What do I need Jesus for in my life? What do I need the Holy Spirit for? I can fulfill all these rules. And we've seen in the New Testament, when Jesus is discussing with the leaders of his time, that he was criticizing this all the time. He said, don't just follow those rules. Don't think and don't believe that following these rules is the thing to do. There's more in our faith than just following certain rules. Or if we are not able to follow all those rules, if you're still one of those who have their cigarette even outside the church here, it may make you feel lost. It may make having your problems. It may make feel you, I'm giving up. I'm not good enough. I can't really do it, and I better give up. It's all not worth trying it. That's why Jesus told us, don't try it yourself. What we need is a change from him. Jesus in John chapter 3, in the Gospel of John, he says, we need to be born again. And to be born again is nothing that you can do. I didn't have anything to do with the process of being born. This was something my parents had, but I just was a person who was born over 60 years ago. But I didn't have any part in it than just enduring it. And that's the same with being born again. It's something that comes from the outside. It's something that doesn't come from you. It has nothing to do with your willpower. It has nothing to do with your intelligence. It has nothing to do with your religious feelings or whatever. It comes from the outside. Where does it come from? Now, let me read one word from the Apostle Paul in Galatians 5. Galatians 5, verse 22. The Apostle Paul tells us and the church in Galatia, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. That's exactly what we are looking for. These qualities mentioned here, that's what we want to change to. And what does the Apostle Paul say? He says, it's the Holy Spirit doing this in us. That's a fruit of the Spirit. It's not your own fruit. It's not the fruit of your work. It's a work of the Holy Spirit. When it comes to talk about the Holy Spirit, we find that especially the book of Acts is talking a lot about the Holy Spirit working within the church, within the first
church.
And it's most of the time the Holy Spirit is connected to the church. Now, what do I mean when I say church or when the New Testament talks about church? If we hear the word church, we may think of an organization, of a worldwide church organization like the Roman Catholic Church with all the clerics and the Pope on the top. That's not what the New Testament thinks of when it uses the word church. Or some may just think of the building. When the New Testament speaks of church, it doesn't mean the building. The building is just something that came later. The New Testament, when it speaks of church, it speaks of a group of believers. So it speaks of a local church or even of a home group. We call home groups also home churches. The word that's used in the New Testament for church, ecclesia, means those who are called out. Those who are called by Jesus, they build the church. Now, a church organization sometimes may be very good. I just may remember you that we had a time here before Pastor John came on. We had a time of, I think, over 6 months where we didn't have a lead pastor, and we were so happy we had a church organization that could help us bridge that time until Pastor John came on and took on the work here. So church organizations are not bad or wrong. Sometimes they really help, but they are not what we should really long for or think that's what the New Testament is using when it talks of church. And the local church, this group here today, it's very good. And I can tell you, there were days I felt so discouraged. I felt so down. I felt so bad. And I thought, God doesn't love me really anymore. But I still just made it Sunday morning coming to church. And I was so built up by the worship, by the music, by the words I heard, by the friends I met, that I felt totally changed after the church service. So it's good to come to the church and to meet here with friends and with other believers. But let me tell you one thing. There is nothing better than a small group. Call it home group. Call it group of friends with whom you meet and with whom you discuss Bible verses, talk about your own life with people whom you trust. Because only people whom you trust, you can tell about what you're really experiencing, feeling, and going through. I wouldn't tell you everything that's going on in my life. But there are some people, there's a small group of people, I feel safe enough to talk to them. And that's a home group. Believe me, the home group, that's a place where God wants to use His Holy Spirit to make changes in our lives. I want to encourage you, find a group of people to meet with, a group of believers. It doesn't have to be a big group. The smaller the group, the better it might be. Just find a group and meet with them regularly and talk about your spiritual needs, your spiritual experiences, your successes, and your losses. That's very, very important. It's the Holy Spirit working in these groups, in these small groups, and you will benefit from it big, big time. Changes. Changes are necessary in our lives. But there might come a day where you think, I haven't changed enough. I am not the person I should be. I am not the real Christian God wants me to be. I am desperately down and I don't feel like I fulfill any picture of being a good Christian. I've been there. Maybe you won't believe it, but I've been down and out. I've had those times where I thought change will never really happen in my life and I'm always the same old guy I shouldn't be. And I'm so glad I came last time when I had that bad feeling about my life and about changes that didn't happen in my life. I came upon a word in the New Testament in Matthew 12, verse 17 to 20. If you have your Bibles, maybe you want to read it with me or you just hear what I'm quoting here from my Bible. Matthew 12, 17 to 20. It says about Jesus, this was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. Here is my servant whom I have chosen, the one I love, in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will proclaim justice to the nations. He will not quarrel or cry out. No one will hear his voice in the streets. And now it comes. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out, till he has brought justice through to victory. This was encouraging me so much. We should be burning fire for God. But there are days we're just smoldering. And it says about Jesus, he won't crush us. He won't say, it's not enough. He will accept us the way we are. So the main thing I want to do today is I want to encourage you. Don't give up. Yes, I believe everyone here today, including me, we all need more change to be done in our lives. But God doesn't give up on us. Jesus doesn't give up on you. He loves you, and he wants you to get the victory. He wants me to get the victory. And that's what we should see. We are enclosed in the love of God and the love of Jesus, and he will perform the necessary changes in our lives. The only one who can stop him from it, that's we ourselves, by trying too hard to do it ourselves, or by just telling him, no, I don't want the change. So I invite you all just to talk to God and say, yes, I want the changes necessary in my life. Holy Spirit, come and do it, and don't let me stand in your way. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, yes, we all need change in our lives. We are all not yet there where we should be. And I ask your Holy Spirit, I ask your love to be with us, to come to us, and to bring us those changes that we need, and that we don't stay in your way, that we don't hinder you doing it, doing your work. I thank you so much, Lord Jesus, that you love me the way I am, still if I have the feeling I'm not good enough. Thank you for being with me. Thank you for being with everyone here in this congregation today. Thank you for bringing your Holy Spirit and making the necessary.